This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. One guest this week, but an excellent one. Kenny Smith is in his 25th year as the studio analyst for Inside the NBA, the most iconic sports studio show in history, the best sports studio show in history. Kenny will be in Indianapolis this weekend for all of Warner Brothers Discovery's coverage of the NBA All-Star Game. That includes alternative telecasts and all sorts of interesting stuff. So check out all of WBD's coverage for that. They'll be on multiple channels, True TV, TNT, etc. And we had a pretty good basketball discussion just on, talked about the All-Star Game for sure, talked about why Kenny is so high on the Celtics, talked about Victor Wembanyama's ceiling, got into Giannis a little bit, who is fascinating to me, and then Kenny went a little bit old school when I asked him who the best defenders were in the NBA during his time. So Kenny Smith of Inside the NBA coming up on the Sports Media Podcast. All right. As I said at the top, very excited to have this guest. If you're a basketball fan, quite frankly, doesn't really need any introduction. He's one of the members of the most iconic sports studio show in history. Essentially changed how people think, in my opinion, about broadcasting when it comes to television. Had a great career in the NBA. And obviously, if you're a college basketball fan, you know him from North Carolina. It is, as you probably guessed by now, Kenny Smith, who's in his 25th year as a studio analyst for Inside the NBA. He'll be in Indianapolis this weekend for TNT's coverage of the NBA All-Star Game. There's a lot going on with TNT, including game coverage, but they're doing alternative broadcasts as well. And it should be interesting. And with that, I bring in Kenny Smith. Kenny, welcome to the Sports Media Podcast.
Man, thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Always good to talk to a fellow New Yorker. So I appreciate that very much. All right, so let's start here. I just want to ask you sort of an overview question. How much basketball do you watch in a given week? What's your basketball diet?
Wow, you know, there's a T-shirt that said basketball never stops. I think that was probably written for me because from the basketball standpoint, you know, I'm watching college because we cover the Final Four when that happens. Then I'm, you know, just being a North Carolina basketball fan, so I'm always watching them when they play. Then NBA, you know, when we get to the studio, it's that's the last cherry, so to speak, on top. Like our show is really a replication of what happened during the week or during the month. It's not really just a game that's happening right at that moment. So I'm watching that. And then I coach AAU basketball. So I'm in high school. So it never stops for me, man. I'm the true junkie for real.
When it comes to the All-Star game, and you've seen this evolution just as a player as well as a broadcaster, I find that a lot of people, it may not reflect in the viewership per se, but I find a lot of basketball fans, when I talk to them, they're more interested in like the skill stuff. Like that kind of stuff, the slam dunk, the skills, as opposed to the game itself. But obviously the game itself is always going to draw more viewers and sort of just the reality of it. What about you as a broadcaster when you're sort of thinking about this stuff? You've had a lot of great moments on, you know, that Saturday or that Friday. And I wonder for you, is that more interesting for you as someone who's been doing this a long time versus the game, or is the game still the game for you?
Yeah, not often the preliminary acts can precede the actual main event. And so I think that All-Star Saturday can precede it sometime. It definitely on the diet of the, let's say, a social media standpoint and people talking about it and people, you know, engagement I would say the engagement of All-Star Saturday from a social media standpoint and a fan's point of view is way more active than, oh, in the game, Steph Curry hit 5 threes in the All-Star game. No one, but if he hits 10 consecutive threes off a rack on Saturday night, that's going to live more. So Saturday night is a vital part, I think, and a lot of nights, probably the most important night of the weekend.
Warner Brothers Discovery / Turner, like everyone else, particularly ESPN, has dipped its toe pretty big in alternative telecasts. This year, Jason Tatum is going to be part of one of them for you guys. I know I saw Charles and Draymond are going to be doing one. I'm not sure. Maybe you're doing one, or if you are, I didn't see that prior to our interview. But I wonder, again, as someone who has been broadcasting Kenny for a long time, do you find like those kind of, I mean, you have a lot of freedom on Inside the NBA, but I wonder for someone like you who kind of likes the freedom of something that's not so scripted, would you like alternative broadcasts? Do you like the idea of just sort of sitting around for a couple hours, no script, no A block, no B block, no C block, and just sort of having a conversation with whoever you're next to?
Well, I think we created alternative sports television.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think our show created that. I think you came in and you were saying, you know, the history of our show and iconic and all those things. I think the one thing that we've added that most people forget is there. I think we helped create the way sports television is looked at today in terms of podcasts, alternative television, the way you interact on engagement. Because when I came onto the show when we first started, it was like he talks, the next guy talks, then the third guy talks. Everyone has their 15 seconds, regardless of what the other person says. We flipped that upside down and basically said, no, if you listen and you don't like what someone says, you can interrupt them just like a normal conversation. There is no production meetings. Charles, myself, and Shaq have never been to a production meeting ever. Ever. And so, you know, that's, we just flipped it upside down, and we made producers, our producers, and which they not made them, but they trusted that we come in prepared and we'd come in with our personalities. And that's what everything is about today. I think every show kind of mimics that, but it did not exist. This is what people, it didn't exist before Inside the NBA. It just didn't exist. Not saying that we're the best at it now, no, it never existed.
I want to ask you about this. I have my own sort of theory on this. One of the true sort of greatnesses about your show is that the show still remains relevant in 2024. A show that's had this kind of run still remains relevant. And by the way, featuring guys who haven't played in a while, which in itself is pretty remarkable. My opinion as to why that is because you guys continue to talk about things that exist today in the world beyond basketball. You remain relevant because you are willing to sort of go out. Obviously, you know basketball, but you're willing to go outside of basketball, where I think a lot of other studio shows have, one, never done that, and two, maybe they play it safe. But I that's my sort of take. But I do want to ask you from your perspective, why does the show, in your opinion, still remain relevant, even though you, Shaq, and Charles have not played in the NBA, obviously, for multiple decades now?
Well, I think the first thing, the relevancy comes from authentic, being authentic to what we are. It's not confusing who we are. I think the other part is we don't disagree or agree to make this show seem balanced. We're not going to balance the show. If we all agree on something, we do. We all don't agree on something, we won't. There's no balance, needed balance. We organically relay things with inside of society that happens with inside of how it not only affects the sports world, but how it affects everything that we do. So it's more of an agatic challenge, I think. And it really comes from Charles, honestly, because he's probably the first guy in basketball, other than, you know, in basketball, Muhammad Ali and everyone else before him. There's a lot of people before him. But when he was in an interview, I used to watch when he was playing with Phoenix and when he was playing with Philly. And he was the only guy that someone would say, hey, what do you think about Martha Stewart? Right after the locker room. Like, he just scored 30 points, 20 rebounds. And they put a microphone and said, what do you think about Martha Stewart? And like, he was the only one. And at times, I think we all used to be like, man, I'd like to talk about that. I like, you know, but no one, we're in the middle of a locker room when you just had a successful game or a terrible game. So he kind of brought that element to the show, that which allowed me to have an opinion about things that people didn't really typically know that I would have. Then when Shaq came in, he just threw another kerosene grenade on it. And it just keeps going. And Ernie being a great maestro of how to orchestrate that and keep it going and keep the show going as well. But the relevancy comes from being authentic. There's no lies. You know, there's no lies. There's no contrived moment. We're not looking to start something with someone. If we start something with someone, it just happens. It's not because it was thought about in a production meeting 10 hours ago.
There, to me, all these other studio shows owe you guys a massive debt of gratitude because you were the forerunners in terms of you were the forerunners in terms of talking about things away from your sport. And now the best studio shows, in my opinion, I'm a big fan of the Thierry Henry, Kate Abdo, Michael Richards. They're very similar to you guys in soccer. And they'll talk about race in soccer. They'll talk about things that are going on in current events or politics as it relates to sports. You guys were the first. No one ever did that before. And that's an incredible legacy because I think you changed the paradigm of how people do these shows. I want to ask you one sort of question about Warner Brothers Discovery, and then we'll sort of finish up on some more basketball stuff. Kenny, this is obviously sort of things that happen above your pay grade. That said, NBA media rights coming up, and that does impact you and your colleagues and your show. How close are you either informed or how close do you pay attention to where the NBA may place its media rights, how serious Warner Brothers Discovery is to retain its incumbency? Like, do you think about that stuff, or is on-air talent, do you not want to think? Maybe there's a way you don't want to think about it so you don't have to think about what the future may or may not be. How do you approach it?
Well, the funny thing when you say it's not above our pay grade is actually our show probably for the network is probably in the 25 years of being there has probably produced over $2 billion for the
right.
network.
Yeah, it is profitable. So, for them. Yeah.
Just our show.
Right.
You know, and that's a moderate number, just to be honest. So those conversations are always with Charles, myself, Shaq, and Ernie, with every executive that runs our network. Because there's not a show on Turner that's more popular.
Right.
So that's like, imagine you're talking to, you know, I don't know, I'm old school, so I'll say Johnny Carson. And his talk show is on your network, or you have the Cosby Show,
right?
Or you have, you know, whatever the most popular show is,
MASH or something like that from CBS.
Yeah, you have the most popular show on the network, and they're not going to have a conversation with you, which is so they have those conversations with us all the time.
Okay,
they will always want to reassure us because they also know that our phones will ring. And they also know our phones will ring, and they ring constantly and saying, hey, if something ever happens, we'd love to have you guys as a totality. You know, we are very profitable for the network. So without question, those conversations, we don't even have to call. They call us. Like, seriously, they'll call us. They'll have a meeting to say, hey, we want to meet with you. We want to go have dinner. Could you fly to this city and can we talk to you about this? Because that is like a super, we're a super valuable commodity to the network in terms of that, which you don't think about individually until they start talking about it. You know, you're doing your job and you're having fun, but once you realize it, you know, we also know that we're trying to enhance the network. There's a reason why, you know, our show can be on three different networks. There's a reason why there was a combination of NCAA with CBS. There's a reason, you know, myself and Charles had never covered college basketball 12 years ago, ever. And they're like, no, we want to do college basketball and Kenny Charles and Ernie have to be part of it. You're like, what? We didn't do one regular season college game. And they were like, we got to have those personalities on our network. And so for sure, it's important.
So one follow-up on that. Where would your confidence level be in terms of Warner Brothers Discovery continuing with the NBA?
I would say high, like super high. It just wouldn't make sense, you know, if you don't want to. And you have the platform. You have the multiple platform because you have the streaming services that were just announced that you put together. You have all of the different other mechanisms now that we're jumping on, the Maxes and all of that world that we're jumping in now that our show was never seen on. So you could stream it in different places and have it shown or in different places. So you become, instead of one network, it's like you have seven networks. So you don't need seven different networks. And so I think that's the valuable part that, you know, we understand. So I would say hi.
Okay.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm going to finish up with a couple of basketball things. As we talk the second week of February, what is the best team you have seen so far in the NBA?
The Boston Celtics. I think, you know, when everyone says the Boston Celtics, and we go Tatum and Brown, but those two guys don't have to play great to win. Or they don't have to play great at the same time to win. They're the only team in the NBA where their best two players do not have to play well for them to win. When you have Derek White, you have Porzingis and Everett. So the Boston Celtics, to me, are the best team. For Milwaukee to win, Giannis has to play great, you know, and Dame Leonard has to be close to great. You know, for Philadelphia, we know Embiid has to play great, you know. For the Boston Celtics, Porzingis might get 30, White might get 27, Al Horford might get 15 rebounds. Like, they don't have to play great. It's the only team in the league where the best players don't have to play great.
Now that you've seen him for a little bit, do you have a sense of what a realistic ceiling might be for Victor Wembanyama?
I think a realistic, he's going to be the MVP of the league 1 year.
Wow.
He's just going to have, you know, a team when his team is really good, you know, when they're contender. But his ability to play like a guard from that position is unique. But then defensively, he still is very active and he plays interior defense. So the first guy who plays outside on offense and interior defense, he's the first guy to do that. If Rudy Gobert could basically handle the basketball and shoot threes, that would be Victor, you know, Wembanyama. So his ability to kind of do both is the most unique talent that we've seen, you know, in the last decade.
Wow, that's high praise. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but I got a screener of the Amazon documentary on Giannis, which you appear in, and with some pretty thoughtful comments. And, you know, I'm sure you get asked to do a lot of this stuff, Kenny. You obviously made a decision to do that one. And it struck me that I think the reason you decided to do it is because you, like many of us, are just so struck by this guy's story of where he was when he was a kid to where he is now. I mean, it's in many ways a modern miracle that he is where he is now. And, you know, you I'm sure you've spent a little bit of time with him. Yeah, obviously, you guys have interviewed him on set. Am I accurate on this? Like, he just, to me, as a professional athlete or as an NBA guy, I just think of him differently because I think the guy is so extraordinary. I listen to him talk in press conferences. He's, like, wise beyond his years. But beyond that, he's like a miracle. The fact that he is where he is an incredible story for people. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I would say a modern miracle in the sense that, you know, his inability to have access to the things that most people have access to growing up. And we're talking about the necessity needs and not have access to them. And then still being the best basketball player in the world. That's the miracle. You know, you need access, you know, to something. And basketball isn't like singing. With that talent, you could carry, doesn't matter if you're sitting on a park bench or you're sitting in a president's room. Basketball is a skill set that you have to stay sharp at. You have to continually practice and you have to have access to do it. Your body, eating, all of the things. And his ability to do that, yes. Without access, it's a modern miracle. Secondly, you said wise beyond his years. His ability to understand. The most poignant thing he ever said was when the guy asked him, "Do you think you were a failure?" How can a guy who come from his past ever think that he's a failure? Like, it's an impossible thought process. And so it took you to a place where most people couldn't understand. Because, no, you lost. That's a failure. But if you understand his story, how is that failure? And it was so poignant on how he described about its steps to success. Everyone has those steps. And every time that I play, I increase my chances in my steps. And sometimes I could get close to it and do it, and sometimes I don't. But it doesn't make me fail. It makes me not accomplish what I wanted to do that year, period. And I agree with that 100% because I understand that story. Growing up in New York City, you're a melting pot of people, cultures, and religions, and it's a melting pot. So I've seen Giannis before. Like, I've talked to Giannis in a sense, someone like him. I know what that story is. I've seen guys sell me hats on the street and had conversations with them. I understand what that culture is of what he came from. So that's what made it fun to be part of.
Yeah, that his answer to me is the greatest. I don't even like sort of saying this because it minimizes a little bit. It's the greatest answer I've ever heard in a sports press conference by far.
In a moment, because it was so thoughtful in a moment where you didn't think you would be answering that question. So exactly. It wasn't like you have to have that in you. You couldn't have had that answer pre-recorded in you.
Correct.
It just has to, you have to live that. There's no way you could have just come up with that answer. Because it's a pre-recorded message. You know how we have, everyone played hard, everyone played smart.
Right.
We played 100%. You cannot have that in your pre-record. You have to live that.
Yep, it's well said. How did you view Doc Rivers returning to coaching from broadcasting? There's a lot of broadcasters who often speak about going back into coaching. You know, sometimes they get offers, sometimes they don't. I know over the years you've even sort of kicked that around. But Doc actually has lived it. So he was with ESPN, and now he's to the Bucks. And I just wonder, again, as somebody who could probably relate to that situation, how do you see that?
Well, the only thing, you know, interesting about it is he's coaching the All-Star game with the terrible record that he's had already.
That's right.
Other than that, you know, he gets to coach the All-Star game on the work that the guy he's preceding actually did. So his work didn't get him the accomplishment. And that's not very often in life that you're just living off someone else's accomplishment.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, which really is like the Milwaukee Bucks organization, like taking an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to bring in someone, even though we feel we're having success. or not even we feel, but he's shown success because he's coached the team, is coaching the All-Star game. So he would have been the first year coach coaching the NBA All-Star game, which is, I'm not sure if there's many that's ever done that in the history of basketball. And the guy gets fired. So I think that that's the really precarious part about it more than anything else. But coaches get fired. Guys like Doc who are qualified are always going to be in demand. But to take over a team that was the coaches coaching the All-Star game because they're successful, that's the funny part about it.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Last two for you. Based on your observations or based on just even talking to these people, what current player in the NBA, or maybe there's obviously probably multiple, what current players in the NBA do you think could find success as broadcasters if they entered the profession after their career was over?
Well, that's a lot of them, honestly. Giannis, you talked about him. His honesty would reap through the television screen and drip out into your living room. Steph Curry, his ability to explain how he's great when you ask him a question in 15 seconds, he can explain it and break it down where to the simplicity, he would be great at it. LeBron obviously would be great at it. His memory of things that's happened, like, and when they happen, it would always prelude like anyone else, because he could probably recall things as players say he does, and we'd see it on television. Like he's like, oh no, back in the third quarter when you ran that screen and you didn't dive to the rim, like whoa, that was a, like he can recall. So that way he would be great at it. Everyone thinks that, you know, the guys who are very controversial are going to be good at it. I don't always agree with that. I think that, you know, controversial is like cotton candy. It dissolves real quickly, but substance stays. So I think that's the difference in our show. There's always going to be a next guy who can, you know, poke the bear. But, you know, we feed the bear.
It's good. I may steal that one from my kids. All right. The last one for me, you know, I'm sure over the years, like, you know, you've been asked a million times, Kenny, who's the best player you ever played against? Kenny, who's the best player in the NBA? So I want to sort of ask something just a little more specific to you. During your career, who would you consider was the best defender? Not necessarily defending you, but the best defender in the game, and why? So many people focus on offense, but during your playing career, who's the best defensive player that you saw, and why would you pick that person?
If you're talking strictly defense, I would say there were about two or three guys that were really close. And one of them still stood above all of them. Michael Cooper was one defensively. Alvin Robinson,
yeah,
you know, after basketball got in a lot of trouble, but, you know, was a great, great basketball defender. Vernon Maxwell was a great defender. But Michael Jordan was the best defender as well.
Wow.
In basketball. He's the only player that when every coach that I've had multiple coaches and coaches would say things like this and not even realize they're saying it. Okay, we're going to run a three play, but Michael's going to be on the right side. So we're going to run it on the left. So he's not in the play. Like, we didn't even do that. And Scottie Pippen was a great defender, but we never said things like that. Like, we're going to run a play to make sure he's not on the side of the floor. Like, that's when you're a great defender. And then Muggsy Bogues doesn't get enough credit for his defense, because even big guys would be nervous when they're in the post that he's coming around somewhere and dribbling the basketball. So he affected the game. He changed the way you thought offensively. So Muggsy, Michael Cooper, Allen Robinson, Michael Jordan, they changed the way you would run your offense. Like Muggsy Bogues is guarding your point guard. Your two guard would bring the basketball up. Oh, now he's the point.
That's fascinating.
Like he just, you're not running, your point guard is no longer the point guard.
Do you buy? Like, do you buy? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do you buy into like the sort of the thought process that if Muggsy Bogues was 6 foot, he'd be in the Basketball Hall of Fame? Or was it because he was?
Or is it because of his size?
That's what made him great. Do you know what I mean?
That's what made him Muggsy. Is the fact that he was 5'3".
Yeah. Okay.
He was a ghost. It was literally like playing against a ghost. Like, you'd see him, and you'd look, and he's gone. And you look to the other side, and he's there, and you'd be shocked. Be like, oh, my God. He was like playing against a ghost. And like I said, there's no one that teams could say they did that with Muggsy, Michael, that they would change their offense. Because of that. So the most underrated defender of all time is Muggsy Bogues.
Oh, I love that. That's a great answer. Not one I expected to. Kenny Smith is in his 25th year as the studio analyst for Inside the NBA. Again, the iconic, you know, I don't even know at this point how many Emmys they've won, but it really doesn't matter, the Emmy number. What matters is the fact that their show has stood the test of time and what it's meant to other shows. He'll be in Indianapolis this weekend for all of Warner Brothers Discovery / Turner's coverage of the NBA All-Star Game. Check him out, and we will obviously continue to see him for years as the NBA eventually negotiates its media rights deal. Kenny, it's great to catch up with you, man. I have such great admiration for your show and the behind-the-scenes people who put it together, and I appreciate you coming on today, the Sports Media Podcast.
I appreciate you, man.
All right, my thanks to Kenny Smith for his insight. That was really, really interesting, especially if you're like an old-school basketball fan about Muggsy Bogues and Jordan, etc. Head to the archives if you like these conversations. Previous podcast episodes include Noah Eagle, who just did the Nickelodeon Super Bowl broadcast, and obviously is NBC's college football play-by-play announcer. If you're interested in how things get covered in terms of the NFL, had Nate Taylor and Tim Calicami talking about covering the Chiefs and the Niners. Had Ray Ferraro and Sean McDonough not too long ago talking about hockey broadcasting. Paul Feinbaum on this podcast. If you like women's basketball, Chantel Jennings, one of the best writers in the country on that, was on this podcast. Again, head to the archives. There should be some stuff you like. If you do like this stuff, leave us a 5-star review and a nice note. That is how this podcast continues. I want to thank Patrick Antonetti for his hard work. Thank you to everybody at Odyssey for their support. And thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.